This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Talk Live, 603-283-6160. That's the call line if you want to join the conversation. That's 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria, Nikki, and Lori, and we're talking about vaccine side effects, specifically COVID-19 vaccine side effects. I've got a story here about the Pfizer vaccine being linked to rare cases of eye inflammation. 21 people developed anterior uveitis, I don't know, and two developed multiple evanescent white dot syndrome. The Pfizer coronavirus vaccine may be linked to a form of eye inflammation called uveitis, according to a multi-center Israeli study led by Professor Zohar Habat-Werner from Tel Aviv's Sourasky Medical Center. The research was conducted at a lot of names that really aren't important to the topic at hand. It was accepted for publication by the peer-reviewed ophthalmology journal Retina. Habat-Werner, head of the uveitis, they're going to keep making me say that word, and I know that's not how it's pronounced, found that 21 people, in total 23 eyes, apparently they felt that important to clarify. Now I'm really confused. 21 people, but 23 eyes were infected, who had received two shots of the Pfizer vaccine, developed uveitis within 1 to 14 days after receiving their first shot, or within 1 day to 1 month after the second. 21 people developed anterior uveitis, and two developed, they already repeated that. All the patients in the study met the World Health Organization and Naranjo criteria. Do you know what that is?
No.
I don't either. Linking the onset of uveitis to the vaccination. This time frame is consistent with other reports of uveitis following various vaccines. She said that any patients that had other systemic diseases that could have been related were under control before vaccination. In addition, none of the patients had any chart changes in their systemic treatments for at least 6 months before getting the shots. Eight of the patients had a prior history of uveitis, but no less than 1 to 15 years later. Specifically, most cases were mild. Only three were severe. It would be really helpful if they told us what the hell uveitis is.
So it's an inflammation of the middle layer of the eye, but it's pretty rare. Like, you don't see it that often.
Is it a major thing?
I don't think so. It can be treated with medications, but I don't think it, like, makes you go blind or anything.
Okay, well, that's good at least. Because there's not much more to it than that. I expected there would be, but that was pretty much the extent of it.
So we're going to see a lot of, like, random stuff like that, like the uveitis or,
A lot of blood clots.
Guillain-Barré syndrome, too.
I've never heard of that. What is that?
So it's a nerve. It's like a degenerative nerve condition. So it's really, really awful, by the way.
Every degenerative disease I've heard about was pretty awful.
Yeah. So it kind of starts from, like, the feet and work their way up. So people have a hard time, like, walking, and it just keeps getting progressively worse and worse. But stuff like that is anything to do with, like, the immune system. I think basically it's a neurological condition that the body's immune system is attacking itself. So it's, like, also an autoimmune disease. So pretty much any, like, inflammatory disease or autoimmune disease, whenever you give any sort of, like, vaccination or anything that kind of triggers the immune system artificially, that you kind of put yourself at risk for, like, random things like this. So autoimmune diseases are big, or so it's not really a surprise to me that people are seeing this weird, rare eye inflammation disease after the COVID shot. We're going to see a lot of random stuff like that. But what I'm more concerned about is, like, 21-year-olds getting blood clots in their arms and having to get it amputated.
That is alarming.
I'm pretty concerned what's going to happen 10 years from now to all the people who got vaccinated.
I've heard some theories that some people think that in 2 years, everybody that got the vaccine is just going to drop dead within the next 2 years.
I mean, it's not unlikely.
I guess we'll see.
We have no idea what sort of long-term effects this is going to have. Like, even if it went through full FDA testing, that doesn't mean it doesn't have long-term consequences, long-term impacts.
Right. Look at Gardasil.
Yeah.
And that's still being...
They still use Gardasil, and it's been proven to give you cervical cancer.
Right. And they're just like, that's fine, just take it. You don't want to get cervical cancer, you better get cervical cancer instead.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the most ironic part. It was to prevent you from getting cervical cancer, but it was giving people cervical cancer.
Right.
And they're still prescribing that?
Yeah, they're still giving it.
They give it to, like, preteens.
Yeah. I got it, so I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
So, the World Health Organization is calling for a halt to COVID-19 booster shots, at least. But it's not because they're concerned about the possible side effects of this or anything like that. But it's amazing to me that we're already at a point where people are needing booster shots and people are clamoring to get them. People are lining up. They're eager to get them. There's a hospital in San Francisco that will give you whichever one of the shots that you want, basically, as a booster shot. Like, oh, you got the Johnson & Johnson, that's fine. We'll give you Pfizer as a booster shot.
It's a really big no-no, too. You are not supposed to do that.
Well, they don't seem to care. I mean, the science on this has been completely thrown out. Our co-host, Mark, wanted to go on a cruise, so he got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, but he did it after he got the Moderna shot. Yeah, so
I'm alarmed.
It was because he was told that the Moderna shot would clear up the brain fog that he had from having contracted COVID-19.
Okay.
So that was why he got that. And then a few weeks later, he got the Johnson & Johnson. And was awesome. Double doses of an experimental medication.
Yeah. Well, they're two completely different. Like, one's an mRNA, and then the Johnson & Johnson, as far as I know, is more like standard, typical vaccine where... Yeah. So the Pfizer and the Moderna are like just straight up gene therapy, and the Johnson & Johnson is an actual vaccine where it has like an attenuated, like small, weakened part of the COVID virus in it. So.
Like a flu shot.
It's a shame that you can't just be like, well, I've had COVID-19 already, so let me on this cruise.
Yeah.
Because all the evidence that I've seen suggests that natural immunity lasts longer and is superior to the vaccines.
It is.
Which isn't surprising. I mean, the human body has had hundreds of thousands of years to evolve and to make itself really good at fighting off viruses. The vaccines, not so much. But so the vaccines need booster shots, evidently. And the World Health Organization said Wednesday for there to be a moratorium on COVID-19 booster shots until at least the end of September to address a shortfall in vaccine supplies to poor countries. Now, one of the things I heard during one of the news rotators that we use is that the Biden White House is like, no, I think that's silly. We're not going to stop the booster shots because they're essentially saying it's not a zero-sum game. Us using our booster shots isn't going to lower the amount of shots that we're giving to other countries. But it's just fascinating to me that the World Health Organization, this the embodiment of what we were supposed to do during the COVID-19 lockdown, according to the left, the Biden administration is always like, ah, yeah, you shut up. We're not going to listen to you. And no one takes issue with it. The call came as some rich country government said they would start administering booster shots to increase protection for those most at risk from COVID-19, while others, such as the U.S. and U.K., have said they are studying the matter. The World Health Organization's appeal highlights the tension between national governments' desire to protect their own populations and what global public health experts say is the longer-term risk that if the virus is allowed to circulate freely in poorer countries, it will have multiple opportunities to mutate into variants that are more successful at defeating vaccines. And I am just thrilled to death that the Wall Street Journal, which I found on Drudge Report, happened to say exactly what I said caused the rise of the Delta strain. Oh, look, we have this strain of the virus that was evolved basically to go around the vaccine. The only way this vaccination nonsense could have worked is if every single person got the vaccine at the same time. And there was no room for it to evolve into something that could go around the vaccine. But here, the World Health Organization is rightly pointing out that if we allow the virus to circulate, that just gives it more opportunities to mutate into variants that can defeat vaccines. As the highly infectious Delta variant of the coronavirus is becoming dominant in country after country, in spite of the vaccines, or in fact because of the vaccines, Israel has started giving a third shot to its most vulnerable people, while the German and French governments have said they intend to soon. Have you been vaccinated? If so, do you intend to get a booster shot, or are you fed up with this nonsense? Should it have worked the first time, or even the second time? Now you need a third shot. What about your fourth shot, your fifth shot? How many shots do you have to get before you say it's enough? 603-283-6160. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R-T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Talk Live, 603-283-6160. That's the number if you want to join the conversation. That's 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki,
and Lori.
And authorities are also concerned that the protection given by vaccines and previous infections could wane over time in a way that could put people at risk again as winter approaches in the Northern Hemisphere. Now, that's not surprising. I mean, most vaccines wear off, Nikki? I'm not an expert on this subject.
No, generally, it depends what type of vaccine. Like, I know, like, the tetanus shot you have to get, like, every 10 years or something. And then, most of the shots that we give infants, they'll have to get, like, the Hep B, and then there's a few other ones that they have to get at least, like, 3 or 4 times.
Okay.
So generally, you'll have to get boosters, but...
World Health Organization officials point out that there isn't firm evidence about the longer-term effectiveness of COVID-19 vaccines, or, indeed, their long-term side effects, given that they have only been out for 9 months, I mean, 4 months. Preliminary studies suggesting that antibodies against the disease fade over time ignore other responses that the immune system brings to bear against the disease, specialists say. The WHO said the world is falling short of the organization's target of giving 10% of the population of every country a vaccine shot by the end of September. While richer countries have administered almost 100 doses for every 100 people, low-income countries have administered just 1.5 doses per 100 people. Most of the vaccines currently require 2 doses. I understand the concern of all governments to protect their people from the Delta variant, which, from what I can tell, the COVID-19 vaccines don't do. But we cannot and should not accept countries that have already used most of the global supply of vaccines, using even more of it, while the world's most vulnerable people remain unprotected. Accordingly, the World Health Organization is calling for a moratorium on boosters until at least the end of September to enable at least 10% of the population of every country to be vaccinated. Now, let's remember what they just said about how if the virus is allowed to circulate, it will have multiple opportunities to mutate into variants that are more successful at defeating vaccines. 10% of the community being vaccinated is going to allow exactly that to happen, which is just going to put more money into the hands of Big Pharma as they come out with a new vaccine against the new strains, the new variants. He said that more than 80% of global vaccine supplies had gone to richer countries. Well, they were produced in richer countries, I think. It's not that Pfizer and Moderna sent their vaccines to the United States. It was just, they created them here, and the U.S. government paid for them, right?
Right.
Yeah.
He said many people in poor countries can't afford to eat if they fall ill and can't work. Well, that's fine, because COVID-19 isn't likely to put them out of work. The World Health Organization argues that 10% population coverage is needed to protect health workers and the oldest people most at risk of dying from COVID-19. But 40% coverage, which the agency targets for the end of the year, would be needed to capture everyone over 50. Dr. Tedros said that cooperation was needed, particularly among the small number of countries and companies that control global vaccine supplies. He said the group of 20 large economies had a vital leadership role to play as countries that are the biggest producers, consumers, and donors of COVID-19 vaccines. I don't know what the hell more does he want from them. If they're the largest producers and the largest consumers and the largest donors of the vaccines, what the hell else can they do? Now, I'm no fan of the United States government or any of these other governments, but it sounds like, you know, at least in regard to distributing the vaccines, whether they work or not, they're kind of doing the best they can.
I don't even understand what 10% of the population has to do with protecting our most vulnerable.
Presumably,
if every one of 10 people that you meet is vaccinated, those other 9 people are still unvaccinated, so you're still at risk.
Presumably what they want to do is vaccinate all of the people who are over 75 years old or whatever, the most vulnerable people, and that represents about 10% of the population. That's my guess, based on what they said. It's quite conspicuous that the countries that did receive these vaccines are those countries that host the developers of the vaccines, whether it's in the U.S. or Europe, he said.
Wouldn't that make sense, though?
Yeah, that's exactly what I would expect. That's not conspicuous. That's pointing out that the developers of the vaccines are in the U.S. and Europe. He said the pandemic emerged during a period of international trade and other tensions which hampered vaccine cooperation, and that G20 countries failed to provide the leadership that would have allowed poorer countries to develop vaccine production capabilities. I don't want to imagine Venezuela trying to develop their own vaccine that's insane. Western governments are beginning to ramp up supplies of vaccines to poorer countries, many through the WHO-backed COVAX facility that got off to a stuttering start. Biden said Tuesday that his administration has shipped more than 110 million COVID-19 vaccines to 65 countries as it works to share supply with the rest of the world following regulatory and logistical setbacks. I don't care if they ship out 100% of the COVID-19 vaccines to other countries. Well, I kind of do, actually, now that I think about it, because I don't want the U.S. government poisoning other countries, but...
You know what else I have an issue with? The fact that people always make it seem like the U.S. and European countries have this obligation to rescue the rest of the world. Like, we have to do all this stuff in foreign aid, and it usually just turns out into us deploying our military there and them doing, like, horrific crimes and, like, violent acts against innocent people. But it just seems like...
Yeah, why is this the U.S. government? Why is it the U.S. government's responsibility to vaccinate the elderly in Venezuela?
Yeah, like, why is it really their problem? Like, that sounds like it should be Venezuela's problem. And I know that kind of sounds, like, cruel, but it's like, how much more money do we have to, like, funnel into other places?
I think it's because patriotism centers around a weird hero complex.
Yeah.
Like,
certainly.
We gotta rush in all the time, save the day, even if they don't want us to, even if it's gonna kill them all.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be cold-hearted. I don't think the American government should be doing this, but if some church or some charity organization wants to raise some money and buy some COVID-19 vaccines and get them shipped to Venezuela, I have no issue with that.
And, you know what, we have a lot of extra vaccines, actually. So
yeah,
I think
because a lot
it
of people
be,
don't want them.
Yeah, so I think we should be able to, like, ship them over there if we have excess, but I don't think it should, like, necessarily be the U.S.'s responsibility. And also, I think the U.S. does plenty in foreign aid. So for this article to kind of, like, spin it around saying they're not doing enough, I mean, if anything, we're doing way too much.
A spokesman for the German healthcare ministry said that the government would donate bilaterally or via international schemes around 30 million doses to nations that have poor access to vaccines, but that it would also continue with this program of administering a third dose to its vulnerable population. In the U.S., Pfizer and its partner BioNTech said last month that they would seek clearance from U.S. regulators to distribute a booster shot of its COVID-19 vaccine based on encouraging initial study data. Federal health agencies responded with a statement saying that fully vaccinated Americans currently don't need a booster shot, but that's not going to stop people from getting them. So regardless of what the priests are saying today, the believers want to believe and they want their booster shot. More coming up. It's
anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
U.S. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Delta variant of the coronavirus makes up 93% of infections in the United States. That's according to the latest numbers from the CDC, which looked at the last 2 weeks of July. Yesterday, there were 106,557 new cases of COVID-19 reported, and 616 people died from the virus. This, as many leaders around the United States are considering mask mandates and encouraging people to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Louisiana Republican Senator John Kennedy saying,
if you want to wear a mask, in my opinion, you should. If you don't, you shouldn't. The mask issue is not nearly as important as trying to get people seriously think about taking the vaccine.
Attorneys for former President Donald Trump are attempting to block the release of Trump's tax records to a U.S. House committee. You're listening to USA Radio News. Senators are looking at growing threats from China.
No other country represents more of a threat to the United States, its economic security, and democratic ideals than China.
Virginia Democrat Mark Warner saying China poses a threat to U.S. counterintelligence. He cited malign cyber activities and economic espionage. Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio says the long arm of China is already here.
China is stealing between $300 and $600 billion a year of American technology and intellectual property.
The New York Auto Show, scheduled for later this month, was canceled because of the COVID-19 Delta variant and the increased measures put in place by local officials to stop the spread. That's according to the organizers of the event. In financial news, a down day on Wall Street. At the closing bell, the Dow losing 323 points to close at 34,792. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Oh, whale! Guys, whale! Wow, whale.
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay. Whale, whale, whale! Oh, no! Whale!
The tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
Well, at least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160 if you want to join the conversation. That's 603-283-6160. And I don't know about you, but I'm sick of talking about COVID-19. Nikki, you talked about during the break that you were sick of COVID-19. Lori, I'm sure you're sick of it as well.
Since last March.
Yeah, right. I remember saying sometime around last March or last April that I was sick of talking about this. And here I am a year and a half later, still just regularly talking about this cold.
This 2 weeks. We just got to do it for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
For 2 weeks. 2 weeks, two years.
And then 2 more weeks, and then 2 more weeks.
I mean, that's my big issue with all of this, right? It was, we just need 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and then that turned into 6 months, and that turned into more than a year or whatever. Fine. Did you prepare? Did you expand the ICUs? Did you buy the ventilators? Did you get the hospital staff to handle it when we lifted all these restrictions? And the answer to all of those questions is no. They didn't add any new ICU beds.
I think they gave everyone $600. That wasn't good enough.
Well, they gave everyone $1,200, I think. And
twice, right? It was like $600, $600, $1,200.
I think it was $600.
Well, now we're all cured.
Wait, are we talking about the stimulus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was $1,200 and then $600 and then $1,400, if I recall correctly. Someone stole my $600 one, I think.
Really?
It never arrived. I mean, it's not like I was intently looking out for it or anything like that, but the $1,400 one came, and the $600 one that was supposed to come before that never did. The $1,200 one did, though, and at the time, I was still able to use cryptocurrency,
yeah.
So I used it to buy Bitcoin, and that proved to have been a good decision.
Yeah. Yep, I did, too. And that's why I was kind of glad, because I'm like, at first I was like, this is just going to, you know, increase inflation. I was really, really concerned about the COVID relief bill, and I was like, you know what? If the government wants to give me money to buy more crypto with, then that's totally fine.
That was exactly what I said, yeah. But we're going to change the subject here because I've got an interesting article here. It starts with this. I didn't want to deny my husband his marital rights. For many evangelical women, sex comes with pain and anxiety.
Cringe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Christy was raised.
I like that that little graphic there. It's like her her vagina with like an upside down cross there.
It is an upside down cross, isn't it? Yeah. Christy was raised a lot, like a lot of conservative Christian and evangelical girls in the 90s. She was in high school when author and former pastor Joshua Harris published I Kissed Dating Goodbye, the now disavowed Christian bestseller that advised against couples even kissing before marriage. She read Elizabeth Elliot's chaste love story, Passion and Purity, a popular evangelical book about waiting for God's timing for romance. Christy followed the rules at camp and stuck to a one-piece swimsuit, sometimes with a t-shirt cover-up to protect the boys from temptation. Her North American Baptist church wasn't extreme. Remember all of that crap they just said, okay? And remember, I'm from the extreme part of the Baptist in the South. Girls wore pants, for example, but modesty was central and the message was clear. Boys were always thinking about sex, and so you need to take care of yourself, need to cover yourself up, she recalls. But for Christy, who asked not to share her last name, the mandates didn't end once she was safely ensconced in marriage. When she wed at 26, she was a virgin. She believed, quote, sex was only for marriage and then God would bless it. Taught never to refuse sex with her husband unless it was an absolute necessity. And paired with her then husband's demands, Christy was left submitting to what felt like obligatory sex and guilt over how miserable she felt. In recent years, persistent critique from a generation raised in the 90s and 2000s purity movement has led to a broad interrogation of its teachings, particularly those directing adolescent girls to guard against young men's sinful appetites. Harris rejected his book Central Premises in a multi-year walk back. As part of the reversal, he also stated that there is no one right way to date. He deconstructed his own faith, he announced a divorce from his wife, and he repented for his views on women. Interesting that they use the word repented for this. He repented on his views on women and the LGBTQ community and says he no longer considers himself a Christian. While Harris tried to detangle himself from the movement for which he'd long been poster child, the hashtag Church2 movement, this is the first time I've ever heard of
it. I haven't heard of that either.
A Christian offshoot of hashtag MeToo was already doing the work of making clear how purity culture worked to normalize abuse. But a similar probe of evangelical sexual teachings within marriage is long overdue. Faithful girls grew up into women who believed marriage mandated perpetual sexual availability, that their sexual performance would protect their husbands from straying and from sinning. A study of thousands of Christian women published in the book The Great Sex Rescue suggests the consequences of some influential evangelical marital sexual teachings are just as scarring, long-lasting, and in some ways more problematic. The damaging shadow of teen purity lessons still lingers, and expectations around sex and marriage last a long time, impacting Christian women's everyday interactions with their husbands. Now, they go on to say, among the popular books that I was skipping over a lot when they said that, among the popular books that shape this mindset is Every Man's Battle. Every Man's Battle promised a practical, detailed plan for men who desire sexual purity and argued, quote, the prevalence of sexual sin among men was derived naturally simply by being male. The authors assert that due to sperm production, men naturally desire sexual release about every 48 to 72 hours, leaving them highly susceptible to temptation within 3 days of their last. And temptation lurks everywhere, from lingerie ads to female joggers. They're
blaming rapists on sperm production.
And women. And women. Don't forget that part.
And joggers and beer commercials and even receptionists.
I can't even go on a run without...
No. You're a sinner.
The flip side of evangelical purity culture stressed that through marriage, women can help their husbands keep from losing in their war against temptation, or so the theory goes. Immediately upon the wedding night, women are expected to transform from a chaste protector of purity into an eager sexual partner geared to prevent her husband's sinful eyes from straying. As Every Man's Battle put it, your wife can be a methadone-like fix when your temperature is rising.
What?
I kind of want to read this book now just to see how messed up it really is. Jumping there, after a purity upbringing, from diligently pure to temptress in the marital bedroom, can be a difficult physical, psychological, and spiritual leap, and probably impossible for a lot of them. For many Christian women, this transition has lasting impacts on their relationship with sex and their own bodies, erasing the concept of consent to align with certain interpretations of Scripture. Years into untangling the lasting impact of girlhood purity culture, after hashtag Church 2 outed a raft of abusive pastors, the Abuse of Faith expose revealed hundreds of Southern Baptist Convention sexual abuse cases. Books such as Jesus and John Wayne and The Making of Biblical Womanhood have left evangelicals reevaluating gender roles as they've been taught, and now some voices are trying to help women objectively survey how their husbands and their church's views on sexual or marital sex have also shaped their lives. Sheila Gregor, Christian marriage blogger, author, and podcaster, and they just go on to link all her stuff that I don't care about. She's become someone women turn to in order to share what it's like to go from years of careful modesty to the first time they have sex on their wedding night, which can feel like you, quote, you don't have a choice because this is what you have to do on your wedding night. Gregor recently published The Great Sex Rescue with her daughter Rebecca Gregor. Beyond the grandiose self-helpish title and end of chapter, there are so many hyphens and quotation marks in this and parentheses that it's legitimately hard to read. The book also touts the largest ever study asking Christian women about their sex lives, marriages, and beliefs about sex and marriage with a thesis that questions broader purity culture that has alternatively shamed and then sexually coerced married women for generations. She studied 20,000 people, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what these 20,000 Christian women had to say. It can't be good if the Christian men are writing books that say, your wife can be like methadone when you need your fix. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th anniversary contest for better health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th anniversary contest for better health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you, too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Live. You're welcome to join us if you want to weigh in on this topic about evangelical women and the weird marriages they have found themselves in. Or you can talk about whatever you want if you don't want to talk about that. 603-283-6160. That's the call-in line for you to do that. 603-283-6160. Now, we're talking about this article here that goes into some pretty extreme detail about what these evangelical women have experienced throughout their marriages, and a lot of it's basically just, you know, they were raped repeatedly, and because they thought that was their religious duty or their marital obligation or whatever. So Gregor did a survey of 20,000 Christian women, and it demonstrated that while other studies have shown an orgasm gap, with 95% and only 65% of straight women reporting having one every or almost every time they have sex, Christian women fared even worse, orgasming just 48% of the time. Gregor says she thought it would be worse. I also thought it would be worse.
I was about to say, that sounds pretty high.
I think they're probably lying to save their husband's feelings.
They probably just don't know what an orgasm is.
Oh, that too. They're probably like, it wasn't terrible, so I guess that's what that is.
I definitely don't believe 48%. Not the ones that are in the positions that they're describing.
Mm-mm.
It is a sexual dissatisfaction without reason, the Great Sex Rescue argues. Behind such figures are women who have internalized, quote, gatekeeper obligations to keep premarital relationships pure and what feel like present mandates to satisfy their husband's sexual urges. Among the women the author spoke to in interviews and focus groups was one named Piper. She described how she and her husband were dedicated to waiting until marriage for sex. Whenever she felt that things had gone too far, she would declare a 40-day fast from kissing.
Oh, my God.
After the wedding. What are people... What? I don't...
look, I'm from, you know, parts of the South that are like this, but I didn't hang out with this exact crowd, so I never saw any of this.
You know what this reminds me of? Do you guys know the Duggars?
Mm-hmm.
The late, the people with, like, 20 kids, yeah. And they're, like, wear long skirts, and they're, like, super religious.
Isn't one of their sons, like, a sex offender?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you surprised?
No.
Okay. So, But I remember watching the show, and they had older children that, like, started to date. They were probably, like, 18, 16, whatever. So they started to date, and there was, like, a strict no-hand-holding rule, no kissing, couldn't be alone together. If you're going to give a hug, it has to be, like, a side hug, like, no frontal, front-on-front
yeah.
hugs. So that's just what this reminds me of.
What is this? Is this a television show?
Yeah, The Duggars. It was 19 Kids and Counting.
I think it's on The Learning Channel.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
That's where we learn.
Yeah.
So she would declare a 40-day fast from kissing anytime that she felt things had gone too far. After the wedding, the couple attempted sex, but discovered that Piper had a medical condition involving muscle spasms of the pelvic floor that can make sex difficult or impossible. It took 6 years for them to actually have intercourse. She now wonders what would have happened if they'd had sex one of the times she felt steamy before marriage, or if the first time they tried in marriage, she had been aroused. The Great Sex Rescue underscores the importance of women enjoying sex, of intimacy and mutuality, while also noting that sexual pain rates are higher among Christians. Among women surveyed, 22.6% reported that condition or some other form of primary dysfunction that makes penetration painful. Overall, 6.8% had such pain that penetration wasn't possible.
So I don't get how that's related to them being Christian.
They didn't say. Yeah, they didn't draw any parallel whatsoever
to... That sounds like some sort of, like, congenital malformation or, like, some sort of, like, STI or something, like an
or
STD.
Is it, like, psychosomatic where,
could be,
you know, they are pressured into all of this and then their body just shuts down because
yeah.
they're literally so full of anxiety over it.
It could be. Maybe the book actually goes into this, but the article talking about the book certainly did not make the case that sexual pain rates are higher among Christians. They've done what they're supposed to do. They get married, sex hurts, and they don't even realize that this is something that other people deal with, so they don't even know they can get help, Gregor said.
Because they probably don't talk about it because it's, like, super, like, taboo. Like, you don't talk about sexual things if you're a good little girl, you know?
And they don't have the experience to know that it's not supposed to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Linda Klein grew up within the purity movement, and as she worked to understand why sexual shame followed her into adulthood, she spent 12 years talking to others about their own experiences, ultimately publishing the book Pure in 2018. She then founded a nonprofit and started offering one-on-one and group coaching for people processing purity culture's impact in their lives. And years out, Klein says, I hear from so many women who are experiencing this condition that, you know, looks complicated and I don't want to attempt to pronounce it. In her book, she noted the condition is more common among women who save themselves from marriage. Those who, due to religious or cultural reasons, develop an overriding fear of sex. It's unclear why Christian women experience such high rates, knowledge that's hindered in part by the general lack of research on the disorder. Gregor suggests a correlation between the symptoms and purity culture. It's the first time you have sex, you're having sex because you have to. Even if you don't want to, there's still that you have to message. She doesn't say it, but what she means is in the evangelical culture, it's not a free choice for many women. So they feel like, well, this is my wedding night, and so I need to, even if I'm not aroused, even if I'm super tired, even if I'm scared, I have to do this. An oft-quoted verse from the Bible, treated as core theology by many Christian sex and marriage writers, comes from 1 Corinthians 7:5 in a section on sexual morality, saying, quote, "Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a set time, to devote yourselves to prayer, and then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." I have to say, I'm impressed that the Bible actually pointed out that the issue would be a lack of self-control on the part of the men and not testosterone or female joggers or anything like that. It's just a lack of self-control. Much as snippets of scripture were drawn into popular books and a sprawling purity industry, a little Bible verse quoting can go a long way toward normalizing extreme teachings among evangelicals, who often draw their spiritual beliefs from an amalgam of Christian bestsellers. Yes, they do. That's how the whole Christian rapture and mythology came trapped in the Christian tradition, because of the books by Timothy LaVey and Terry Jenkins called Left Behind, where it's not part of the Christian theology, but they wrote these Christian bestsellers, and then suddenly it became part of Christian theology. The Act of Marriage, a book that sold 2.5 million copies and was popular among Gen X Christians, described how conflict over sex, whether because of a woman's disinterest or, in one example, due to an abusive spouse's awful beatings of our children, could be resolved by the woman repenting and giving herself sexually to her husband.
That is awful. This makes me so sad that people are just like, think that this is normal and like this is what God wants them to do. Right. No, God wants you to leave your husband and protect your children.
Yeah,
that's what God wants you to do.
Right. People are living that life silently.
Yeah.
Like, because
it's horrifying.
Some teachings even formalize the idea that sex cannot be refused in marriage. In 2020, a post of Gregor's went viral after she shared a document saved by a woman who had attended a Solomon Sex and Marriage Conference led by Shane and Phyllis Womack. Attendees received a sexual refusal commitment contract to be signed by husband and wife, pledging to, quote, make ourselves 100% willing and available for biblical lovemaking and to not directly or indirectly refuse my spouse's sexual needs and desires.
What is biblical lovemaking?
Cringe. I don't know.
Being sold to a bunch of men in the street so that another man doesn't get raped. That's in the Bible, right?
I'm just amazed that any of these people, they went into this biblical sex convention, and the first thing they were told was that you have to sign this document saying that you are 100% willing and available for sex, and you can never directly or indirectly refuse your spouse's sexual needs or desires. And these people didn't go, oh my God, screw you.
Right.
I'm not signing this.
Leave.
Love and Respect, published in 2004 and still sold by Focus on the Family, uses the example of a mother arguing with her daughter to give her husband more sex. Hold on. I got to read that again. It uses the example of a mother arguing with her daughter to give her husband more sex.
What?
The mother is arguing with the daughter to convince the daughter to give the daughter's husband more sex.
Oh, okay.
Now way too many pronouns there, author.
Yeah.
Why would you deprive him of something that takes such a short amount of time?
Oh, no!
It's sometimes hard to believe I'm actually reading this article. It makes him so happy. Gregor and her co-authors note, we can't imagine anyone expecting sex to feel good for a woman would emphasize its brevity above all else.
Cringe.
Yeah, this is bad. It goes on a bit further, too, and we're going to get into it. 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in on this. That's 603-283-6160. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Blue Star Medicated Ointment gets 5-star reviews from our loyal users for fast relief of the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
Blue Star soothes insect bites and fungal infections.
It really works on the summer rashes I get every year.
had psoriasis on my elbows, Blue Star worked wonders.
Amazing stuff. Smear a bit on and the itch is gone.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.